But Gerrard! Yes, it is Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of FPL 360. We're Forge from Steel and we'll be talking about the Sheffield Blades.
Yeah, this is the first episode of three previewing the newly promoted clubs. We figured it would be fitting to start off with Sheffield United after I referred to them as Sheffield two episodes ago and was politely told to refer with them as Sheffield United, not just Sheffield.
By the rest of that message, it was kind of impolitely told, but your criticisms were hurt.
Yes, we listen to the fans. We listen to the fans on this podcast. We give the people exactly what they want. So, Chuck, looking at Sheffield United, last season they finished as runners-up in the championship on 89 points. Now, since this is the first preview of the newly promoted clubs, I want to just briefly give a little rundown. We're going to look at how the clubs did last season, then take a look at their playing style, their formation, and then get right into their FPL assets, and then provide a little bit look of how we think they're going to do. Now, granted, since we're doing this with time left in the window, stuff is subject to change, so we figured it would be fitting to look at the primary FPL assets at this point.
Yeah,
since things could be...
Hopefully this team signs a striker.
Yeah, so looking at their numbers last season, Sheffield scored 78 goals, fourth in the championship in scoring. Their biggest strength, though, what pops off the page, they had the co-best defensive record, conceding 41 goals. Also the best goal difference at plus 37. So they're coming in as the best defense. Is there a club you would liken them to?
So the funny thing is the club that I would liken them to is the club that they shared that co-best defensive record with, and that's Middlesbrough. Because when they got promoted to the Premier League, they had a Premier League-ready defense. They did not have a Premier League-ready attack. And that's kind of the situation that Sheffield United's looking at. But considering that they released five of their players on the last day of the season, like after gaining promotion, it kind of feels like Sheffield United's not done making moves.
Yeah, I do think there's room for additions. And just speaking on what you said with Middlesbrough, when they went down finishing 19th in 2016-17, they conceded 53 goals. They conceded less goals than Burnley, Stoke, Leicester City, Crystal Palace, West Ham, Bournemouth, just to name a few.
And their defenders were still extremely useful across all formats.
Yeah, and obviously their issue was scoring goals. They only scored 27 the year they were relegated. Sheffield come up having scored 78 goals. How much regression are you anticipating?
From that 78, probably, yeah, I mean, at least close to a two-thirds regression.
Yeah, if you look at the clubs, obviously they came up last season. Wolves, they're in a league of their own. Do you think they're better off than, you know, Cardiff when they came up last year?
Oh, I'd say yes, because they definitely have a better defense than Cardiff. I would have loved to mold some of Cardiff's attackers with their defenders and keep Billy Sharp and see what happens.
Yeah. So, in terms of a setup, as you said, their strength is their defense. They play counterattacking football. And from what we've looked at, it seems like it will be some form of a 3-5-2. And I've also seen like a 3-4-1-2 floated around, again, with emphasis on counter-attacking football. from what you've seen or what you saw them last season, now you watched a little bit more, are they just really going to be packing into counterattack in your, you know, in your typical counterattacking style of a promoted club?
Yeah, it's basically the bunker, let their center backs do some dirty work, pass it to one of the midfielders that can happen to pick out a pass, get it to a target forward, get it down to Billy Sharp in the box. And then, considering his accuracy when the ball's at his feet, that's probably ending in a goal if it lands at his feet.
Yeah, so Sharp is the first guy we're going to talk about in terms of fantasy relevance, since he's the guy who's most popular that people have been speaking on. Sharp last season scored 23 goals. It was his best scoring campaign of his career in the championship. He also provided 4 assists. He comes in at 6 million in FPL.
And unfortunately, that is a little too expensive for me.
Yeah, so even though he, for the moment, seems like the clear-cut number one, you think 6 million is too much?
It's just when you look at the 6 million forwards, there's a name that I like a lot more who's also basically a number one forward in Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a, I'd have to actually agree with you on that. For bang for your buck right there at 6 million, Lewin is a better pick. How do you think Sharp's going to fare? I mean, he's pretty much a poacher. He's not a high volume shooter. His numbers were rather impressive in terms of conversion rate and making do with his chances. Is there a magic number you would think he'd be around for goals this season?
I'm going to go with lucky or unlucky number 13, depending on what culture you're talking about.
Yeah, so last season he averaged a shot every 40 minutes, and he averaged a shot on target every 86. So I don't think that's going to be sustainable, just because obviously the step up in competition with how they're going to be playing. But as a target forward, there is something to be said if he can be, you know, as efficient as he was last season. He was also named in the championship team of the season. The one thing I would like to point out about him is he only had 1 goal and 2 assists in the final 3 months of the season. So everything was front-loaded, and he is 33 years old. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's the starter and he just doesn't play a full match, or if, you know, they just run and gun with him.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, is that the biggest places where I feel like this team is going to make some signings is at forward and in the midfield. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of those signings does put Billy Sharp into more of a rotation role, which is fine because it means he'll be more effective when he does start, but it does make him absolutely useless for FPL and FPL draft.
The other forward to mention, since they had Gary Medine on loan, but he's gone back to his parent club, which I believe was Cardiff City.
Yep.
Could be mistaken. Is David Goldrick. He's at 5.5 million in FPL. Last season, he had 36 starts, 9 substitute appearances, and he scored 15 goals, had 4 assists along the way. So, do you think him and Sharp is a good 1-2 punch, or
that's like, not a Premier League ready 1-2 punch? Not even
I'll just
close.
I'll just get right to the point. So, Charlie Austin,
I want him there.
I think this is kind of tailor-made for him. And I don't.
And he is linked to this team.
Yeah, we've seen that floating around. That's something I really want. That would be a big boost for him in fantasy. Looking at Goldberg's numbers, he averaged a shot every 27 minutes, which is pretty good. But again, all these numbers are subject to fall off coming up from the championship. He can play as a secondary striker and also in midfield. So there is some versatility there, but there's no way they're going to stay up with those two being their primary scorers.
Exactly. They need to add something up top.
Yeah, moving on, looking at the midfield. This is interesting when I was going through the stats because they got a lot of assists from midfield last season. How that will translate to the Premier League is up for interpretation, but the guy I know you want to talk about is Oliver Norwood.
So he was able to score three as well as picking out eight assists last season, being one of the main guys in leading the counter. And one of the interesting things is the fact that he logged 2.3 key passes per game, because I believe that almost every midfielder on Sheffield United, due to the way that they play, is going to end up racking up quote-unquote ghost points. But Norwood could be the leader of the break, which means the most ghost points.
Yeah, his numbers are very, very appealing. If you're someone who likes to look at the numbers, as we like to. And the key passes is something I always like to look at. But looking a little bit deeper, the thing that stood out for me was that he led the championship in accurate corners and was a joint leader in free kicks. And that is always a big boost for anyone in FPL and fantasy in general.
Especially considering that this is a team that wants to maximize every set piece that they get, because who knows when they're getting another one.
Yeah, and he's at 5 million in FPL. Is that get your attention at all?
It's too high to start the season. Just due to the fact that I would rather move from another 5 million midfielder to him. Like, probably my number one 5 million midfielder is Morgan Gibbs-White. Just due to the fact that Wolves are going to be in the Europa League qualifying rounds, a la Burnley last year. But Wolves also have a lot more depth than Burnley, so I feel like Moutinho could be used in the qualifying rounds, whereas Gibbs-White will be used in the league.
Yeah. Another guy who will probably play a pretty big role for them next season in central midfield is John Fleck. 2 goals, 10 assists in 45 starts. He is at 5 million also in FPL, which is definitely too much for me, but you know, he's a central figure in that team. He's pretty effective playing box to box in the championship last season. He started 45 matches, so he's not going anywhere,
and he's only 27, so.
But his 10 assists last season, I think, is the only reason why he's at 5 million.
Exactly.
Yeah, he should be at 4.5. So not a ton there, but he'll be a key figure in that side, playing underneath Oliver Norwood. And looking at the other thing that stood out for me for Norwood was he created a chance every 39 minutes. So even if that does fall off, and maybe he's around 60, I mean, I do think he's going to produce. It's just tough to justify 5 million right now at this point, as you said, with the other options.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, the guy in midfield who caught my attention is one of their two summer signings, and that's Luke Freeman. He's a winger signed from QPR for $5 million. Now, I saw this. I came across this in an article. I don't exactly remember where it was from, but 2015-16, Freeman has provided the most goal-scoring chances in the championship, among the highest in assists with 28 in that time span.
Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, and he's coming in at 5.5, so that is steep, to say the least, for a club that's going to be playing a counter-attacking style. But I do think he's someone who's going to be on my watch list.
Which is definitely fair, because if he gets off to a hot start, when you're on your early wild card, nab him.
Yeah. And I mean, with them playing a counter-attacking style, and he is a winger that is pretty pacey, you know, he could be useful there. If he was at $5 million, I would maybe think about it. I don't think I'd put him in my team, but I wouldn't just look at his price and then go to the next guy. But he's definitely one to watch for me on this team. Getting to their strength, as we said, is their defense. I've been seeing a lot of teams on Twitter, including one of Sheffield's center backs, and there's a couple. Which one's your favorite?
So, my favorite is going with James O'Connell.
Yeah, O'Connell.
Sorry, Jack O'Connell. O'Connell.
Yeah, he had 41 starts last season, 3 goals, and 3 assists. He's 6'3", he's good in the air. What else, I guess, if we want to give people who haven't heard of him kind of a little mini scouting report?
I mean, the big thing is he's good in the air, but by also playing on the left side of a back three, he's able to provide assists moving forward as well. And out of all of their center backs, I feel like he's the most Premier League ready. Like, I'm not 100% sold on Egan, their central. John Egan, their central center back. Just because watching him play, I don't feel like he's fully polished for the Premier League. And if there's any way that new signing Jagielka is moving in, central center back in a back three sounds about right.
Yeah, the other thing, too, with O'Connell was he was second on the team in passes per game behind Norwood. So he gets a ton of the ball, and as you said, he gets forward. And that's something to consider if they manage to get a couple clean sheets with bonus points. That's getting a little ahead, but, you know, just something a little to tuck away when you're looking at the promoted center backs.
And the thing is, good championship defenses are more Premier League ready than good championship offenses.
Yeah. And as you said, I mean, playing with the two wide center backs, there's fantasy value to be found, especially with him being big and being a target on set pieces. Gonna have to dig a little bit deeper and look at see how, you know, some of the better wide center backs that have come up in the last season, couple seasons, how they fared in the Premier League, and they kind of correlate that to fantasy. But I do think Jack O'Connell is a good shout. The other defender I want to talk about, this is someone I took in, I believe, the 15th round of our expert mock draft last week. Enda Stevens. Now, initially, when I looked at his numbers, it seemed like we could maybe have a Matt Doherty situation on our hands. However, after doing a little bit more digging and seeing how Sheffield United play, see how I emphasized United in that section so we didn't get bagged on again. it's pretty clear that the style that Sheffield United plays is not... I don't think his numbers are going to translate as well. He's also the backup for Doherty for the Republic of Ireland, which is interesting. but he comes in. He had 4 goals and 6 assists in 45 starts. I was considering him before the prices were released. I figured he'd be at 4.5, but he comes in at 5 million.
Yeah, again, just one of these situations where I don't understand the FPL pricing for these guys. Like, because I probably would have went with Stevens as being the only defender here in my FPL squad, because a clean sheet's a clean sheet, and the most forward defender is the best defender to have. But when you look at everything, the difference between 4.5 and him is just far too high.
Yeah, and as you pointed out before we started recording, there has been a couple attacking fullbacks, wingbacks to come up in the last couple of seasons that haven't panned out. And the one that you pointed out was Tommy Smith. He came in, I believe he had 10 assists for Huddersfield in the championship. And then...
did he even get one in the Premier League that first year?
He got one in the first season, and then he kind of was phased out by the second. Ryan Fredericks joined West Ham last year. He was hurt for a bit. I think he'll be better this season.
Yeah, I do love Ryan Fredericks this year, especially at his 4.5 price tag.
Yeah, but the Doherty comparison... I mean, I took a dart. I was throwing a dart, taking him in the later rounds.
And he'll still be useful.
Yeah, he'll be useful in draft, but in FPL at 5 million, that's a
hard pass.
Hard pass. So having kind of outlined the guys that we like, with a focus on more so on FPL, I guess we should probably just go back and give a little bit of our take for where these guys should be drafted. So where would you say an appropriate time to consider Billy Sharp is?
So I've taken personally in every single draft that I've been involved in, I've taken Billy Sharp. So in one, I took him in the 9th round with the 8th pick, which is probably a little high.
Yeah,
you can go ahead. I'm looking up where I took him in the other mock draft that we've done.
Yeah, what I was going to say, I think he's a fine third forward.
Yeah, the other round, the other draft, I took him first pick in the 11th round, which feels a lot better to me.
Yeah, when I did my initial rankings, I think I had him around 30, 32 or 33.
But I have been taking him as my forward 3 or forward 4 in every draft that I've been in.
Yeah, I mean, if he falls to the 10th round, I think that's very good value. Because you are getting a guy who's entering the season as the number one striker, even if you can't expect his numbers to be close to what they were last season.
And in draft, you can rotate him.
Yeah. Any interest in David Goldrick?
Not particularly, but some of that's also just because I don't know enough about him to know if what he did in the championship is actually sustainable.
Yeah, I would probably let him slide. I mean, maybe if you need a bench forward and you're in the last round or two, if you're looking for a punt, but he's someone you can probably scoop as a free agent or through waivers if we see he's getting more minutes. How about your boy Oliver Norwood?
Norwood, I'm probably putting around Sharp in like that midfielder 4-5, 11th round dart on. With most of the promoted teams, that's probably where I'm putting their players outside of a couple key performers.
Yeah, I think knowing that he has a monopoly on their set pieces and kind of looking at where you can get most set piece takers, I wouldn't mind I wouldn't mind having him as a fourth midfielder. That, especially if you're going midfielder in the first two rounds.
Mm.
Because that'll allow you to do, you know, midfielder. If you get two of the big guys, then you can kind of afford to have maybe a defensive midfielder, and then kind of have someone as a fourth if you're going to run with three forwards.
But it's so also nice because I've seen him going undrafted in every draft that I've been in so far. So
then you could, yeah.
I'm not necessarily against just letting him slide, and if you really want to take him in a draft, taking him in the 16th round.
Yeah, that's fine. I would say he's a very good later pick. I would probably pick him. I'd probably say maybe like the 14th is probably the earliest I would go on him. I mean, just because the upside's there, and if you're looking at all the other metrics that we count in Taiga with Fantrax scoring, there's a lot more potential for him opposed to FPL. Guys like John Fleck, not going to be drafting him. Luke Freeman, not going to be drafting him. How about the center backs?
So O'Connell was taken in the 13th. That's actually probably about right. Because he's probably the only center back going off the board for me.
Yeah, I think that's good there. It's just another thing. It's always interesting with the promoted teams, because you can get a lot of these guys late on and you don't really need to reach too early. I think Sharp,
that's the funny thing, being in so many drafts with people who listen to this podcast, it's like, would I be fine with drafting another center back from Sheffield United that's not John Egan? Probably. Do I want to draft another center back that's not O'Connell? No.
And then I mentioned with Enda Stevens, I took him, I believe I said, in the 14th, and I think that was probably even a reach.
Yeah, he's probably a streamer.
Someone to go undrafted or to stream. Having outlined, you know, our initial take on Sheffield United and their fantasy assets, where do you see them, looking at the roster they have now, where do you see them finishing?
As of right now, I have them 18th.
Yeah, I think they need to sign a forward in order to have a chance to stay up. And that's,
I like a forward and a midfielder.
Yeah, this is no disrespect to Billy Sharp, but at 33, he would, I mean, he's 2 years older than Glenn Murray, if I'm correct. If I believe I'm correct in that. Maybe a year older than Glenn Murray. So it's going to be tough for them to rely on him.
One day.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for them to rely on him. I don't think they're going to be pushovers by any means. It's just very tough for them to stay up. Although if they do have additions, you know, that could be something to change. But I would say the ceiling for them is probably 16th.
Yeah, that's probably about right, because they're either going to get relegated or barely avoid relegation.
Yeah, they're gonna be in a scrap. Looking at their preseason, they'll be taking on Real Betis, Burton Albion, Northampton Town, Chesterfield, and Barnsley, and their first preseason match is on July 12th. So we're definitely going to track these guys and see how they're progressing, and depending upon how this episode comes out and how it's received, maybe we'll do brief checkups on each of the clubs.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
So that's going to do it for our first newly promoted club preview, looking at Sheffield United. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL_360 and pretty much everywhere where you can listen to podcasts.